Welcome back, everybody. Today is the final day of this novena, preparation for Pentecost, which is tomorrow, day 9. So we are speaking about the Holy Spirit and Mary.
Thank you so much for taking this journey with us. As you know, this is not just us teaching you. I mean, we're sharing with you our thoughts, but you're witnessing our journey to the Holy Spirit with these videos, and that's really what our ministry is about. And so thanks for joining us. And we want to continue on in this style of ministry. And if you'd like to help us keep all our content free, we really do rely on our Patreon supporters. And if you'd like to become a member of that team to support us on a monthly basis, we'd be grateful. You know, when you give to a big ministry, let's say they have 100 staff or something, and you give $5, that $5 has a really small impact on a ministry. But I want you to know that if a person commits to giving $5 to our ministry, it makes an immediate impact because we're so small. And we really are grateful for our whole team who helps us. So thank you. And if you'd like to join us, there'll be a link at the end of this video also in the description. So let's talk about Mary and the Holy Spirit. If you want to prepare your heart to receive an infilling of the Holy Spirit, you might as well do it with somebody who has received the fullness of the Spirit already, and that is our Mother Mary.
While they awaited the coming of the promised Holy Spirit, all with one accord devoted themselves to prayer, together with Mary, the mother of Jesus.
So Mary always seems to be at places where good things happen.
Mm-hmm. You want to have her along for the journey, for sure.
Yeah. Now let's think about this. Father Fernandez says it's sort of like a second advent. Because in the first Advent, Mary, by the power of the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. And then what did she do for 9 months? You're kind of familiar with this right now. Mm-hmm. 9 months of waiting. 9 months of waiting for baby to come. 9 months of waiting for the world to receive the Savior, Jesus Christ. And Mary pondered this and had this experience by herself.
Right.
Now we have sort of the second advent. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and for 9 days, not 9 months, the apostles with Mary wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Mary waited for the promised Messiah for 9 months. Now they wait for the promise of the Father to descend upon them.
So now it's like a shared expectation.
It's a shared expectation that we continue to share with Mary when we ask her. And that's something that we can do. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us that we'd receive a full outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our life.
You know what I think is so interesting when you were just mentioning how they waited 9 days. So really the novena, or this novena to the Holy Spirit, this waiting time before Pentecost, was the very first novena ever. And we get to do it now, like 2,000 years later.
Yeah, so if you've been wondering, why is it always these novenas 9 days? Well, it's modeled after this first one. And so all other devotions that typically have nine, it might be 9 days, it might be a novena of 9 weeks, it might be a novena of 9 months. There's all sorts of different novenas, but the first, it's inspired by this first one.
Is it true that there's a 9 week one? Did you just make that up? I never really heard of that, but
so no, I did not make this up. Novenas can be 9 months, they can be 9 weeks, and the most common is 9 days. That's a point of clarification for all the Janelles out there.
Here's the 54-day rosary, but has nothing to do with nine. During her life, Our Lady grew continually in love for God the Father, God the Son, her Son Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. She corresponded to all the inspirations and motions of the Paraclete. And each time she was docile to those inspirations, she received new graces. She never offered the least resistance, never denied God anything. Her growth in human and supernatural virtues was continuous under a special influence of grace. No creature allowed itself to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit as did our Holy Mother Mary. None lived divine filiation as she did. The Holy Spirit, who had lived in Mary since the mystery of her Immaculate Conception, came on the day of Pentecost to dwell in her in a new way. All the promises Jesus had made about the Paraclete are fully accomplished in the soul of the Blessed Virgin.
So Mary is very acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Her life begins with the Immaculate Conception. So she's conceived without sin. This conception happens because of the action of God. God sees the foresees the merits of her son, Jesus Christ. It's applied to her life, and the Holy Spirit preserves her from sin. Then we have Mary overshadowed by the Holy Spirit at the Annunciation. She conceives Jesus in her womb, God with us. Throughout her entire earthly life, she is always corresponding to the grace God gives her, continuously growing also in grace, never resisting grace. Mm-hmm. And then she's there at the birth of the church. Father Fernandez says she receives in Pentecost a unique fullness at the time of Pentecost. The whole point is that Mary knows something about the Holy Spirit. And again, ask her intercession so the fullness of that of this feast day can be released in our life. Mm-hmm. There's a thought that I had about the upper room experience. Mary was praying with the apostles. So they're praying together for the coming of the Holy Spirit. There's something about together that's powerful instead of, I'm just going to do it by myself. And I feel like we've witnessed this over the years of ministry. When we were with face-to-face ministries, we would have events, and in the evening, we'd have chairs in the hall, or sometimes in the people would sit in the pews, and people would come, and we would pray with them. Together, we would pray with them, and it was a powerful moment of encounter for people when they would present a need to us, and we would pray for that need, asking the Holy Spirit to come into their life in a new way. Like, we saw incredible things when we would do this. And then we would teach other people how to do this and trained up a team. And one of the feedbacks from these events often were how people would encounter Jesus. Number one is to an honest reconciliation. Number two, they would say Eucharistic adoration. And number three, when someone would pray with them. Those were the top three ways that people would report really feeling blessed and encountering Jesus. And so I'm just a question for you. Have you ever had someone pray with you? You have a need in your life. Have you ever gone to them and said, can you pray with me right now? This is what we would do regularly. This is what we continue to do sometimes with friends if they have a need, and we do this with each other. Speaking God's blessing into a person's life, praying with them, very, very powerful way. So it's just a little encouragement, because the apostles were together with Mary. They prayed together.
So I guess the question is, you know, do you have community? Do you have people that you can share your faith with? Do you have people that you can pray with? I know a lot of the times you hear of different small groups at the church who are meeting together to pray for different needs, or you see in the bulletin, you know, there's a prayer chain. Do you utilize these things that your parish offers? Because I think that these are important. If we want to grow in faith, it's important to do it in community.
And just a thought, you know, when they prayed together, they heard the sound of a violent rushing wind. Tongues of fire descended upon them. I mean, they really encountered the promise of the Father. Mm-hmm. That experience of the upper room is meant for the entire church. Whether we see the tongues of fire or not, or it manifests that way, it's those external manifestations are irrelevant. But to be empowered, to go forward, is for the entire church. That's the norm. And it's interesting because the apostles up to this point had the best catechesis, didn't they? They walked with Jesus for 3 years. It was constant catechesis. Yet that orthodox teaching was not enough for them to go forward to the ends of the earth. They needed more. They needed to be empowered. They needed the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So friends, no matter how much knowledge, head knowledge we get about the faith, it's not going to be enough to live out our vocation, to live out what God calls us to. Right. We need to be empowered. Right. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. And so have you ever personally asked the Holy Spirit to be more fully released in your life? This is what the journey you're on right now, tomorrow, Pentecost. Ask, beg for the power of Pentecost to be released in your life so that you could go forward like the apostles and live the call that God has for you.
So over the years, because we're speaking about Our Lady, over the years, Ken and I have done a number of different Marian consecrations. And St. Louis de Montfort is one of the most, I don't know, you see a lot of quotes from him when you look up Marian consecrations. And this is what he said. When the Holy Spirit finds Mary in a soul, he flies to it. So if you want more of the Holy Spirit, grow in your devotion to Our Lady. Because she will, it's almost like magnetic. She will draw that Holy Spirit closer to you. Because where Mary is, there's the Holy Spirit.
So, closing, we're going to have that prayer at the end of this video. If you want to join us in our ministry, be a Patreon supporter, there'll also be a link. And we have a special gift for you as well. In closing, we have come up, we are going to release, what?
A recording of the Litany to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And the reason we're doing this is because over the last few years, it's just been brought to our attention that the month of June is a really disordered, focused month in the world in general. And so how do we combat this? We can combat this by increasing our devotion and our love for Jesus. And this month, the month of June, we celebrate the Sacred Heart.
Yeah, so the sacred feast day of the Sacred Heart is this June, and so we're going to have a prayer for you that you can utilize. In fact,
and actually, in our home, we have laminated versions of the Litany of the Sacred Heart, so that we are going to be praying this every single day with our children. But if you want a recorded version, you will have access to that.
Yeah, and if you want the PDF file, it's also going to be in the link of the description. So you got that. So with that, friends, thank you for journeying with us to the Holy Spirit. We'll see you soon. God bless.
And happy Pentecost. It's the birth of the church.